Today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're going to start from a few lines down from the top we left off yesterday, and that is by the two dots of Itmar. The previous daf had a discussion between Rava and Abaya, machlokes between Rava and Abaya. Basically, it centered around the whole idea of misasek, if someone was involved or thinking about performing one type of a malacha and he landed up doing a different type of malacha, whether or not he is chayiv. Really, it boils down to whether he's chayiv a karban or not. And Rava was felt that it was potter in those situations, and Abaye felt it was chayiv. So now we're coming back to that theme here. Itmar, Niskavim Lizrok Shtayim, Vizorek Arba. Supposing a fellow decided to throw an object in Rishis Harabim to Amos. Now, in order to be Chayva, Karban Chatos, and Shabbos, you have to throw it or carry an item for Amos at least. So he thought he's only going to throw two. It lands up going four. Rava Amar Potter. So Rava says he's Potter, and Rava is consistent with before, where he said that if you had in mind of doing one type of malacha, did another, or you didn't have in mind doing the malacha that you landed up doing, then you're Potter. Potter, of course, it means Potter Aval Asur. You cannot do this L'chad Chila, but a Potter, you're exempt from the carbon. Abaya Amar Chayev. Abaya says that you are Chayev, and the Gemara will now explain. Rav Amar Potter, Rav says is Potter, the lo kemechavein, or the lo ichven, as the Bach says, lizrika da arba, that you're Potter because you did not have intention to throw it for Amos. Your intention was only two Amos. Four Amos is that which officially violates Shabbos, of carrying an item for Amos and the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Your intention was only two, therefore you didn't complete your intention, and therefore you're Potter. Abaya Amar Chayev. Abaya says you're Chayev. Why? The Hakim Chayev and Lizrika Ba'alma. You did have intentions to throw something, and you did have intentions to minimally be to violate the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos. So it's so therefore Abaya says that you are Chayev, because you had intention to violate Shabbos to some degree. Now that you violated fully, you're culpable. Another case, Kisavar Rishus HaYachid, supposing someone was walking along and he thought that he's in a Rishus HaYachid. He didn't realize that he's actually in a Rishus HaRabim. He thought he's in a private domain where you're allowed to carry. But now, V'nimtze is Rishus HaRabim. Now it turns out that he's actually in a Rishus HaRabim. He's in a public domain where you're not allowed to carry. So Rava Amar, again, Rava says, Potter, you're Potter because you did not complete, your actions did not complete, were not commensurate with your thoughts. You thought that you're allowed to carry, turns out you're not allowed to carry, and therefore Rava here too will say that you're Potter. Abaya Amar Chayev, Abaya says that you're Chayev. And again, Abaya is consistent with his approach to this, that as long as at the end you did violate a Shabbos, and you were a malach on Shabbos, and you were doing something, and it turns out that something that you were doing violated the Shabbos, you are chayv in the carbon. So now the Gemara explains, Rava ama pater de hola mechavein lizrika de isura. Rava says you're Potter because you did not have in mind to do any type of throwing that's prohibited. In other words, you thought that you're in Rishus HaYachid. Va'abaya Amar, Chayiv d'ha mechavin lizrika ba'alma. Abaya says that you are Chayiv because you did have in mind to throw something, and you threw something. It turns out, so in other words, you did an action, and that action that you did is an action that if it's in the right circumstances, you are chayev, you're actually chayev, you violated Shabbos. And so here, where it turns out that you did something, and it turns out that it was not in the same circumstances that you thought, you were in Rishus HaRabim, unlike your intention, but since you did do something, and that something turned out to be in violation, you are indeed chayev. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know why we need three cases. The first case was actually mentioned on Daf Ayin Beis. Daf Ayin Beis on the Beis on the top, where the Gemara gives the case that you thought that you're going to remove something that's actually already been removed. In other words, a plant growing on the ground, you thought that this piece of celery that you have in your hand, you thought it's already uprooted and ready to eat. Turns out that it's a growing item. So therefore, but turns out that unlike your thought process was, where you thought that you're removing something that's already been picked, turns out it's not. So there, Rava says that you're potter, and Abaye says that you're chayiv. So, and the whole idea is because you misasik, because you're doing something unlike your actual intention. So that's the reason why you're potter in the first place, in the case of picking something that's tullish and turns out to be that's mechurba, that's actually attached. So the question, now the Gemara wants to know, why do we have to have all these three cases? Cause in other words, so we had the case of picking something up that actually has already been uprooted. I'm sorry, that you thought was uprooted, but actually was still planted in the ground. That's case number one. We have the machlokes Rav and Abaye. Case number two is the case of thinking that you're throwing something only two amos and it goes four amos to violate Shabbos in Machlokes Rav and Abaye. Case number three is where you think you're walking in a Rishus Hayachid with an item, actually you're walking in a Rishus Harabin. Here too you have the Machlokes Rav and Abaye. So the question is, why do we need all three cases? Smar explains. V'tzricha. If we just tell us the first case of where you thought that you're picking up something that's already been uprooted, and it turns out it wasn't, bahu ka'ama Rava, and that, I would say that's the situation where Rava says that you're a potter. Because you did not think for any moment that you're doing violating any type of iser, because you thought this thing's already been plucked. And so you had no clue that you're doing any iser. So I would say that's the case where Rava says that you're potter. Avol neschaven lizrok shtayim v'zarek arba. But supposing your kavana was to throw it for two amas, which is the next case, you landed up throwing it for four amas. So I would say the arba below tarta lo mizrakale. I would say that you throwing something for without violating the two, you're la miserkale. You cannot possibly throw something four amas unless you've already included the two amas with it. So I would say that in such a case, Rava may admit to Abaye that you're right, that you are chayiv. Because every time you throw something for, you have to throw it to, so you've accomplished what you originally wanted. You wanted to throw it to. It went for. But you wanted to throw it, you wanted to throw it to. Here, let's see Rashi. The arba below tatilam is darik. If with four, without including two, there's no toss involved. Zeshin is skyvin l'shtayim v'zarek arba. Now that you thought that you're only sending it two, and you throw it four, nasis machshavto. Your original machshava was accomplished. The hayesh bechlal dalid shtayim, because every time you throw something four amos, included in it is a two amos. So that's not the classic pattern of misasik, where you didn't accomplish what you wanted to altogether. Here you did accomplish. You managed to throw it the two, which is included in the four. So I would therefore say that maybe here Rava is mother to Abaye that you're chayiv. Right. So ema mother leila Abaye, I would say such a case that of Rava is mother to Abaye. So now, what about so we'd say v'iyashmin and baha. So if I would just tell us this last case of throwing, thinking you're throwing two, but landing up with four, so I would say, wait, maybe baha ka'amar Rava da halokim mechavin lizrika da arba. I would say maybe in such a case, Rava, this is a situation where Rava perhaps would say that's why you are potter, because you didn't have in mind to throw it four. You only threw it two. So maybe I couldn't teach you this case alone, because this case alone I would have a svara to say just the other way around. Here is the case where your intentions entirely were not accomplished because you didn't want to throw it four. You wanted only to throw it two. But Aval Kesavar Rishus Hayachid, But perhaps I would say in the case where you think you're walking in Rishus HaYachid, V'nimsa Rishus HaRabim, and it turns out that you actually, in the case of Rishus HaRabim, the Mechavin Lezrika, the Mechavin Lezrika, the Arba, where you actually had in mind, you knew full well that you're throwing it or carrying it for Amos. That you knew full well. You're very cognizant of the fact that you're carrying this or throwing this item for Amos. The only thing is that what you're not aware of is that it's a Rishus HaRabim, not a Rishus HaYachid. But the actual activity of carrying the item, that I did as planned, to carry it along the four amas. So I would say, maybe in such a case, Ema Modele Abaye, I would say maybe he's in that situation, he's Modele to Abaye, and that is that he is Chayiv, because you accomplished, your Malacha was intact, your intention was entirely intact. You wanted to carry it for, you did carry it for, the only thing that was changed on you was the fact that unbeknownst to you, you were carrying in Rishus HaRabim instead of the Rishus HaYachid. The act itself was an act intact as you had planned. So that's why we need all these situations, because I would not know one from the other. The Rambam, by the way, does paskin like Rava in these cases, and that you are potter. The Rambam, though, interestingly enough, only quotes this situation. Rambam says that misasek. Rambam includes all of these situations, the three cases we just described. He calls them misasek, that you are you're involved, you're in a process, and you're not, you're thought process is not complete to the malacha that you're doing. And the example that the Rambam gives is the example that you were walking along in Rishus HaYachid and turned out to be Rishus HaRabim, which is the last case. And I guess the Rambam figures you can extrapolate from that case to the other cases that it includes anything like that, where your intention is not completed. Rambam figures that you'd see from this halacha that all those types of situations, and that's where the Rambam does put it, in all these given situations where you're misasek, that you are a potter. These halachas, as we have them in the Gemara, as related to the Gemara, these halachas, these machlagas in between Rav and Abaye, are not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. You check along here, you'll see it's only Rambam. I haven't seen anyone who directly deals with that. I'm sure they do, but it's my own thought that perhaps because the real nafgamina is a carbon, the nafgamina really is the whole difference in halacha is whether you're obligated to bring a carbon for violating an avera in this process of misasek, and since it's not relevant to today until the Beis HaMikdash, as we know, the Shulchan Aruch only brought those halachas which are relevant halacha l'maisa. The Rambam had relevancy because the Rambam did talk about chiyuvei karbanos. So that's perhaps why this is quoted by the Rambam, not by Shulchan Aruch. Although the halacha l'maisa is that misasek is pater, and it's a halacha throughout Shulchan Aruch. Continues the Gemara, Tanan. We have a Mishnah, and that Mishnah is going to appear very shortly in the bottom of the Ovid, of the Amud. Avos Malachas Arboim Chaser Achas. The amount of Av Malachas, which will be delineated right down below, is 40 minus 1, which means 39. And the Havinamba, the Gemara itself will dialogue on this Mishnah, and will say as follows: Minyan Alamali, what do we need a count for? What's the difference to us whether it's 39, 49, or 59? Why do we need an exact figure of 39 malachas? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan says Shim Asun Kulam Behelam Echad, that if you do, Rabbi Yochanan will say as he will on Amud Beis, that if you do all of them on with one lapse of not being aware for the moment that you're in Shabbos, that today is Shabbos for the moment. So in other words, the situation will be that you forget for the moment that today is Shabbos. You're aware of Shabbos. You're aware that there are Isurim Melacha on Shabbos, but you forget that for the moment that right now is Shabbos, and that moment could extend throughout the day. Comes the end of the day, you realize, Oyvei, I was Mechal Shabbos entirely. So we say, so Chayav Kol Achas V'Achas. So you're Chayav a carbon for every Av Malacha that you do. So now we have to have an exact reckoning of how many Av Malachas are we talking about, how many Karbonos are going to add up to his total. So the Gemara says as follows: Bishlam ala Abaye. So we understand now this Rabbi Yochanan's position of how many karbanos you have to bring. That all makes sense according to Abaye. The Amar ki hai gavna chayiv, that we, how are you going to, because we can set up the situation that you're going to be obligated in these karbanos. Mishkachas, you'll have it as follows. The yada, the isura, the Shabbos. He knows, he's full aware of the isur of Shabbos. He's fully aware that the Shabbos, these malachas are prohibited. He's also aware that today he had an awareness of that today was Shabbos. And he knows that the malachas are prohibited. So he's aware that there's such a thing as Shabbos. He was aware at some point that today is Shabbos. He forgot that. But he also knew that there's such a thing as these malachas that are prohibited on Shabbos. So what is he, and what's his mistake? The katar be shiurin. And so, but his mistake is that he's not aware that these shiurin are us, were usher and Shabbos. There's these types of different limited violations of what he did that they're also prohibited. In other words, according to Rabbaye, the situation will be, oh, he forgot that you're not allowed to walk 4 amos and he carried 2 amos. He forgot that even 2 amos also yuchayev. So he thought that the shear is for 4 amos, and if you do anything less than 4 amos, you're entirely potter. But the answer, the truth is that if you do a half a shear, if you walk 2, you also chayev a carbon. So we have that such a situation where he can be fully aware that it's Shabbos, but he's not aware of the fact that even if you do it to a limited degree, each malacha, you're still chayev. So we can understand how you can have the count of 30, how you can be forgetful of Shabbos yet still have a count of 39 violations. El al Rava, the Amar Potter, but Rava, who says you're Potter for these anyway? And so where are you going to find the situation that you're going to be chayev 39 karbonis? Heichim mishkachas la bezodon Shabbos. How are you going to have a situation that you're, if you're fully aware of Shabbos, v'shigigas malachos, but you're forgetful about the malachos? According to Rava, you don't have the situation. You don't have a situation where he's cognizant of Shabbos, or he had some cognizance of Shabbos, but he's forgetful of each malacha individually that he will be chayev a carbon on. So according to Abaye, no problem. What you didn't realize by each malacha is if I do the malacha not to its full degree but to its half a degree, I'm still chayev the carbon. But according to Rava, you have to be fully cognizant of what you're doing and can do the complete shear of what you're doing in order to be iver. So how do you ever have a case of being beshogig in the malachas of Shabbos if you had a cognizance of the fact that there is Shabbos? Because of course, if you weren't aware that there's a situation of Shabbos at all, you were not aware that there is such a thing as Shabbos, you weren't aware that today is Shabbos, so that the Mishnah had told us previously that it's only one carbon. So the situation that we need here is for the fellow to be well aware that there's Shabbos, he's well aware there's a concept of Shabbos. So, but on the other hand, we need him to violate 39, the potential to violate 39 av malachos on Shabbos. How are you going to have that in a beshogeg situation unless you agree to Abaye that even in a half-hearted accomplishment of the malachos beshogeg, that's how you can see this through. Otherwise, according to Rava, you don't have that possibility. So the Gemara says, we can have this possibility. Hanicha isavala k'Rab Yochanan, if he holds like Rab Yochanan, who say the amakivin shishagig bekareis, since you are Rav Yochanan holds like this. Kivin shishagi bekares, you were not mindful of the fact that Shabbos, which has an isur kares attached to it, even though Shabbos bemezid is a chayiv skila, but supposing someone violates Shabbos bemezid and he doesn't have there's no two aidim to warn him, or the situations don't warrant, we can't bring him before a bezin anymore. But the fact is, with every chayiv skila is associated with this chayiv kares. So So Rabbi Yochanan holds that he was not mindful of the fact that Shabbos also has an Issur Karis attached to it. Afal Pisha Hizid Balav, even though he knew, in his mind, he was thinking that Shabbos is no more than a lav. If you violate Shabbos, it's like if you eat chazer, something like that, that you have to get an Issur Malkus. He was not aware that Shabbos is also accompanied by an Issur Misa, either an Issur Skila or a Chiyuv Karis, which is attached to it. So he's walking along thinking that Shabbos is only a lav. So Rabbi Yochanan feels. So again, that says Kivan Shishagar B'Karis. He's not mindful of the fact that Shabbos is accompanied with Karis. Afal Pisha Hazir B'Lav, even though he was bemazed by a lav, so yeah, and still Yechayev. So Mishkachas La Diyad La Shabbos B'Lav. So it's possible that he was well aware of Shabbos. He was thinking what he was mistaken about was he was mistaken that he thought that Shabbos is an Israel Lav only. So that is his mistake. His mistake, his shogeg was thinking that Shabbos is a lav. Now it turns out that, as we know, Shabbos is not a lav. It involves an Issur Karis. So he's going to have to bring a karban for each one separately. Despite the fact that he was mistaken in his belief that Shabbos is only a lav. However, El Isavak Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. However, beholds like Reb Shimon Ben Lakish to Amar Ad Sheyishko Balav Vekares that you can. The only time that you can be over a Bishogeg is and therefore Mimchay Vechatas is if you're fully aware of what's a lav and that it has kares that you know to distinguish between which has a lav and which is a kares. So if you're not cognizant of the fact that it's of what the true nature of the Isser of Shabbos is that involves Kares, so then how do you find this situation where he violated Shabbos b'shogeg that it should be chayav a karban? So the Gemara says the yad alei Shabbos b'mai. So to what extent was he cognizant of Shabbos? So in other words, this being Rava here, how do according to Rava can we set this up? According to Rish Lakish, where do you have the situation? The yad alei b'tachumin. What he was aware of is that there was an iser tachumin on Shabbos. So tachumin, which is only a lav, or actually Rashi. Appears on Daf Samach Tesam and Aleph. Rashi there says that the Yodala B'Tchumen, you knew that you were aware of Tchumen, the Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, and according to the position of Rabbi Akiva, that Tchumen is D'Oraisa, and Rashi says that Tchumen, there is no Chiyuv Karban. It's an interesting situation, and it's an unusual situation. Two things unusual about this. Number one is that Tchumen is outside of the normal framework of Shabbos, that even though it's Asa D'Oraisa, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, however, you're not Chayiv Skila or Kares, but further than that, at least Rashi's opinion is that you're not Chayiv a Karban for Tchumen altogether. But what we accomplish with this is that you have a situation that you were aware of Shabbos, but the only thing about Shabbos that you were aware of was that there's an Issur Tchumen, and that Issur Tchumen is a lav. That Issur Tchumen is a lav, it's not Kares. So here now you have a situation where you're aware of Shabbos, but you're only aware of it as far as he knows there's a prohibition of Tchumen. That Tchumen only has a lav. So now you have a situation where even according to Rish Lakish, you have an awareness of Shabbos, the awareness extends to Tchumen, which itself is a lav, so it's not like you were mistaken about, you confuse Kares and lav, because Tchumen only has a lav attached to it. So now that you have an awareness of Shabbos, and you have an awareness that there's an Issur lav associated with this, now any avera, as it turns out, any avera that you do on Shabbos unwittingly on Bishogeg, right down the line, falls into place and you chayev a carbon for each one and one. So in other words, all what we had to establish now is a situation where this guy can be aware of Shabbos to some degree, and yet he's only thinking of it in terms of he has to just click in to find the place where he's thinking of it that he's of Shabbos. He's aware that it's prohibited, and he's also not wrong in his assumption that the violation for Shabbos involves only a lav. Where is that one Isra Malacha that he can click in and think like that, that's Tchumin, which according to Rabbi Akiva is the Uraisa, and yet on the other hand it's only a Lav. Once he clicks into that and he's aware there's a concept of Shabbos and there is a concept of a Lav on Shabbos, now the rest, everything else falls into place. Any other Avera that he does in Shabbos, which normally is Chayiv Akaris, is Chayiv Skila, now anything else that he does, if he goes ahead and he chops wood and he carries and he lights a fire, all that falls into place, and he is will be chayav a carbon for that as well, a carbon chatas. So, but as long as we can establish some area where he can have this cognizance of Shabbos, and he's right in thinking that it's a lav only. Go on to the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah. Now we're going to, the Mishnah as quoted before was now going to continue the 39 malachas. Avos malachas arboim chaser echas. There are 49 malachas. It's 40 minus 1, so the 39 altogether. It's something that the Mishnah, the Lashon HaMishnah always likes to choose is 40 minus 1. It's the Gemara uses that when it, I'm sorry, the Torah uses that when it comes to Isra Malkus, called refers it to 40, even though we know it's only 39. The Torah seems to like round numbers. The Lashon HaMishnah does the same. So it's 40 minus 1, and it's 39. So what are they? So the Mishnah lists them. If you do count them up, you'll see it is 39. Hazareya, if you sow your field, plant the field. Vacharish, if you plow the field. Vakotzer, if you reap or harvest the field. Vahama'amer is if you gather the sheaves of wheat, of stalk and grain together. Vahadash is if you thresh the wheat to separate the chaff from the kernels. Vahazora is another way of doing that. It's called winnowing. You throw it up in the air to thresh this all out. Habarer, or if you select and choose the good from the bad, wheat and the kernel from the chaff. Now each of these are separate malachas. The Gemara, as it continues to explain this Mishnah, will discuss why do you have to have separate situation. Isn't that part of dash? It seems to be all part of the problem here. It seems to be revolving around borer of choosing the bad from the good. That's the Gemara's discussion. Continues the Mishnah, Hatochein, if you grind, Vahamarakade is if you sift, and that's whereas borer is by hand, as Rashi says, Hamarakade is you sift by an instrument, an implement, Vahalash, if you knead, Vahaofa is if you bake. Now even though Rashi explains, as Rashi says, Ofa lohava b'mishkan, v'loshayach al b'pas, Ofa was not one of the malachas in the Mishnah of baking, because that's only done with pas, u'pas loshayach b'malachas b'mishkan, there was no baking involved in the Mishkan, but Ofa and Bishop actually go together. Bishul, which is cooking, is involved as you have to cook up the dye for the wool. And the Gemara actually will ask why the Mishnah chose to use the expression of ofa, of baking, over bishul. Hagoza, that's a tzemer, if you shear the wool off an animal. Hamalabno, if you whiten it, you launder it. Vahamanafzo, you comb it. Vahatzovo, if you dye it. Vahatova is if you make it into twine. The Hamesech is if you set up a loom, and you set up the loom, and now you prepare the strands to be set up tight and taut on the individual spokes on the loom. Va'osa shtei batenirin, if you make two loops that are going to be used for looming, and all this was involved. Of course, they had to make materials in the Mishkan, and all this was a part of the process in making these materials. Va'orik shnei chutin, if you weave two strands together. Va'hapotzeya shnei chutin, or if you undo two strands. Each one is a malacha. Hakosher, if you knot something, v'hamatir, and if you undo it. Tosfos discusses whether you have to undo two strands as well, and that's a discussion. V'hamatir, v'hamatir is undoing. V'hatofesh shtei tefiros, or if you sew two stitches. Hakorei almanas lit for, or if you tear for the purpose of sewing, and to keep that in mind, because any other type of tearing, if you just want them tearing, or tearing a sheet of paper, is not minatora. It's midrabanan. But the only minatora, it's only if you tear for the purpose of sewing two stitches. Hatzad svi, if you hunt a deer, hashokto, if you slaughter it, hamashito, or if you skin a hide, hamocho, if you salt it in preparation for tanning, vahamavet, when you you actually tanned this oro, you tan this hide. V'hamamachko, if you smoothen it out. V'hamachatcho, if you cut it down to size. Cutting a thing into a specific shape is a chituch, and it's an avolacha. Hakosef shteyosios, if you write two letters. Now, as Rashi explains, that was done by the carpenter when he was setting up the kroshim for the and the poles for the mishkan, would write down, the side which pole had to be adjacent to which pole. You know, as carpenters do with a pencil. The hamochik almanas lichtov, if you erase in order to rewrite, mechika again is nav malacha, as Rashi says. Very often they would make mistakes on the poles and rewrite. If you erase for the purpose of rewriting two osios, two letters, habona, if you build, vahasosa, if you disassembled, hamachaba is if you put out a fire. The Gemara will discuss exactly what type of kibui is usher. It has to have a positive accomplishment to extinguish a fire. Vahamavir, vahamavir is if you you shine over something with like the blackened ash, as Rashi explains. Hamaka bapatish, if you do the finishing touches with a mallet to let's say a metal urn and is dents in it, you finish it off with a mallet, the fine touches. That itself is an av malacha. Hamotzim rishus l'rishus, if you carry from one rishus to another, carrying. Hareel ovus malachas aboyim chasachas, you have your 39. The Mishnah has a certain order to this, the order being, what's necessary, the most important thing and the staple of life is food. So the Mishnah discusses first food, then a man's clothing, and then it works its way down to other necessities of construction in a man's life. And the final malacha is the malacha of carrying, which is always known as a malacha grua. It's one of the lesser type of malachas. We think of it as a lesser type of malacha because nothing's actually physically being done to an object, just being transported. Continue on the Gemara, and I give them a base. Why do we need this count, which is referred to in Amar Aleph? Rabbi Yochanan says, if we do everything with one lapse of forgetfulness, so you chai for each and every individual malacha, as we mentioned earlier. So therefore, if the once Shabbos day passes, you realize, Gevalt, I let Shabbos go by as mechalo so many malachas, and now we got to take a tally and realize how many karbonas he has to offer. Hazoreya v'hachoresh. Now we should say something about Hazoreya altogether. That's sowing, putting the seeds in the ground. Rabbi Elephant mentioned this towards the beginning of Masechta. That comes out to be about Daftala, but a very fundamental machlokes between the Rashash, which you'll find in the back of the Gemaras, and between the Minchas Chinuch. If I recall, it's in Mitzvah Lamed Beis. I may be mistaken, maybe in Lamed Gimel, but I believe it's Lamed Beis, but anyway, there the Minchas Chinuch discusses each and every av malacha. The machlokes is as follows: supposing you put a seed in the ground, so when are you actually over the avera? It didn't take root yet. So the Rashash says, in a chanami, if you put a seed into a ground, you pulled it out before it took root, you're potter. Didn't accomplish anything. It's similar to putting some food into the oven and pulling it out before it begins to cook. The Minchas Chinuch disagrees, and the Minchas Chinuch says, no, you're chayv, because that is what Zariah is, putting seeds into the ground. That is what Zariah is. By Bishul, I need to actually, it has to be without heat, without actually getting to the cooking process, is not cooking at all. But Zariah, the Malacha Zariah, is putting seeds into the ground. That is what the farmer does. And that's what the Torah is makbar on. The actual action of placing seeds into the ground, pulling it out shortly after you put it in, is not going to help you. Says the Gemara, Zareya v'achoresh, if you sow and you plow, michti, michrav karbi bereisha. Why does the Mishnah say first you seed and then you plow? That's not the way it goes. That's not the order of way the farmer does it. First michti michrav bereisha. Michrav karbi bereisha. First a person plows. So listening choresh v'had listening zareya. Let's first list plowing first. In Lashon Kodesh it's choresh. In Gemara Lashon it's michrav karbi. But let's learn plowing first, and then learn about placing the seed into the plowed earth. So the Gemara is very simple. We've got a practical reason here. Tana ba'eretz Yisrael kai. Our Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael, and in Dezari Bereisha, because what they did was there, the ground is very hard. So first they went ahead and they planted the seed, v'hada karbi. And then they went ahead and plowed it to see, because the earth was hard. So they had to, if they would just, if they would plow it first without further digging it into the ground, it wouldn't take root. So they had to first, they first did soften up the ground, then they laid the seed in, and then they plowed it again to make sure that the seed will penetrate. So in the hard earth of Israel, that's the way it has to, had to be done. So that's why they put Zorea down first. Tana, we learned Hazorea, Vahazomer, Vahanotea, Vahamavrich. If you seed, or if you prune, or if you plant, now you're talking about taking an entire plant and planting it elsewhere, a little like a sapling. Vahamavrich, Vahamarkiv, or if you graft two branches. Kula malachas achasi hein, those are all under one category of malacha. If you do all of these, it's only one issa malacha you violated. So my kamashmon, what is this to tell us? Ha'osim malachas harbe me'e malacha achas, enu chai vela achas. If you ran through this list and you did all these things as mentioned above, then you only chai of one carbon, one malacha. Ama rav acha, ama rav chia bar ashim rabami. Zomer chayev mishum noteya. If you prune an item, so it's like you planted in a sapling. That's because that's the way you take care and to see for its further development. So it's vahanoteya, vahamavrech, vahamarchiv, and if you plant, and if you transplant, and if you prune, so then chayev mishum zoreya. So you're chayev for planting. So it seems to be mishum zoreya in mishum notei alo. So it seems to be you're only chayev for zoreya. You're not chayev for notei, for that type of plant. You're only chayev for seeding, but not for planting. So what is the story here? Why are you not chayev for zoreya as well? We mentioned before that the zoreya is included in the process of hazoreya v'azom v'noteya. So why are you separating the two? So why do you say that you're not chayev for noteya here? He says lo ema af mishum zoreya. Not that you're chayev zoreya to the exclusion of noteya, but I'm sorry. The Gemara meant to ask why you're not chayev for noteya. So the Gemara says no, not to say that you're chayev exclusively for zoreya. You're also chayev for zoreya, but of course you would be chayev for noteya as well. Amrav Kahana, zoma v'tzorech le'etzim. If you pruned, and when you pruned, in other words, you stripped the tree of its branches for the sake of pruning and making it develop greater. So, but however, at the same time, you also need these branches. You need them for firewood. Zomer b'tzorech le'etzim chayev shtayim. Now you have two karbonas. What are they? Achas mishum kotzer. You did one malacha of kotzer, which is harvesting, and because it turns out that you needed these branches. You harvested the branches for the purpose of using them, whatever your need may have been. The achas mishum noteya, and one is for planting, because pruning it, which helps it grow better, is a part of the planting process. Amrav Yosef, Haiman de Kotlav Safsasa, someone who went ahead and cut stubbles. And this like it was a hard growth on the ground. And he used to harvest it several times. It was a very, very hard, not quite like gourds, but it was a hard stubble, and it was used primarily for animal feed. So what do we say? Chayev Shtayim, you're obligated, you're chayev in two karbonas. Why? Mishim Kotzer. The achas mishim kotzer, one because of kotzer, you've harvested, you've reaped this asafsata. The achas mishim noteya, and one for noteya, because noteya, that's the way you get it to grow better. The more you cut it, the more hardy it became. That's the nature of this stubble. And so by cutting it, so you're kotzer because you need it on the one hand, and the other hand, you're making it a more hardy plant, and it will grow stronger even, so therefore, you're chayef noteya as well. Amrabaya, Haiman, the kind of silka. If you've cut beets used to grow on the ground, but when they grew on the ground, they were able to cut it and leave part of it growing still. Chayiv shnayim, you're also obligated in two. Two karbonas, achas mishum kotzer, one is for harvesting, you've gotten your beet now. V'achas mishum zoreya, because that also had the beneficial impact on the beet when you cut it and left it growing in the ground. The remaining beet was hardier as well, so therefore that's as though you've seeded it, and your chayef is as well. Okay, continues the Gemara v'achoresh. if you've plowed tana hacharish v'hachofer v'hacharetz, this is the plowing and digging and causing a ditch. Kula malacha achas hein. They're all of one malacha. Amar Rav Sheshes. It's all one category of malacha. Amar Rav Sheshes. Ha'isalay gavshishis. If you had a clump. And you had a clump of earth on the bottom on your house, let's say. That's, you know, they used to have earthen floors. Vinatla babayas, and you've removed this clump of dirt in your house, chayev mishim bona. You've transgressed a bona of building because you've improved your floor. You had this clump on the earth on the floor, now you've removed it. It doesn't mean you just lose dirt, but you had this protruding clump. Now you've gotten rid of it, so it's a part of bona. You've constructed the floor in your house. Besada, however, if this was clump, you've removed in a field, so chayev mishim chorish, then you've plowed. And again, it's not talking about a loose grass, but it's talking about something that was embedded in the earth. You've removed it, so that's part of Choresh. Amar Rava, Haisala Guma V'tamama. If you've had a clump in your house, V'tamama, and you've now smoothened it out, but bias, so it's in your house, Chayav Mishum Bona. You've patched up a hole in your house with this, and you had this clump, and now you've smoothened it out, so now it looks patched up, you've finished the job, so you're Chayav because of Bona, of completing the floor in your house. Besada, however, if it's in the field, so you chayv mishim choresh. Then you chayv yichashara choresh, but you've helped to plow the field by working the field in that manner. Amar Rav Abba, hachofer guma b'shabbos. If you dig a hole in Shabbos, this is a classic case. You dig a hole in Shabbos, ve'ein tzarech ela la'ofra, but you only need the earth of the hole. You don't need. You're not interested in the hole. You're just interested in gathering earth. So you stick your shovel and into the ground and pull out the earth. Potter aleha, you're potter because as far as mashva guma is concerned, as far as being bona with a hole, you're potter because that was not your intention of digging this hole. Va'afilu, so that's a malacha she'ena miskavim. Va'afilu the amar Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says malacha she'ena tzricha legufa chayev aleha, that a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa you are chayev in. So why are you potter here? Hanimila misakein. That's when you land up. In the process, you land up doing something, you accomplish something, you fix something with it. But hi, Makalkalhu, when you leave this floor here after this, this earth, you leave it with a gaping hole. You weren't misakin, you weren't fixing anything. You just left it worse than you found it. So that's a kilkel, that's a destructive achievement, and therefore you are parted from that. And that is the halacha. This is the classic case, one of the classic cases of malacha she'en tzarech legufa, of which, and the halacha is that you're parter. Says the Gemara, Viter, Vahakotzer, if you reap or harvest, Tana Hakotzer, if you reap wheat, let's say, grain, Vahabotzer, that's if you reap grapes, Vahagoder, that should, Rashi tells us, Goder is Betamarim, that's what you pick in your grapes, I'm sorry, your dates that way, Vahamasik, as Rashi says, that's done by Zaysin, gathering, picking in your dates together. I'm sorry, olives, sorry, correct, olives. Vaha'ora, and that is by figs, correct? Right, by figs. Kula malacha achas hein, they're all one malacha. In other words, it's all under one subcategory of malacha. You've done all these things, it's all one malacha that you've done. It's all part of kotzer. Amarav Papa, Haiman Desada Pisa Ladikla. If you got up and you threw this is a strange situation, but you got up and you threw a clump of earth at a date tree. Va'asa Tamri, and now you've dislodged the grapes that way. Chayiv Shtayim, so you're chayiv twice. In other words, you took a ball of earth, you threw at this tree, down come running these dates. So chayiv shtayim, you have two karbonas. Achas mishim tolish, one because you're tolish, you've picked, you've uprooted this bunch. The achas mishim mefarik, and one is because Rashi says you're a mefarik here. Rashi says you've told her the dush. So it's like dush shemafarek tvur mishibaleha. It's like you've removed wheat from its sheath. So that's what's happening over here. Interesting. I don't know. Rashi says discargar balaz. I think it's like discharge. Anyway, you've picked one clump for the other. So therefore, you're chayav. For being mefarik because you've plucked one of the grapes, one of the ta'ana from the other. One of the dates from the other. Rav Ashi Amar, ein derech talisha b'kach. This is not the normal process of talisha. The ein derech prika b'kach. That's not the way you're mafarik to pick the clumps from each other. That's not the way you do it. And therefore, he feels that you're potter. Tosha disagrees with Rashi's explanation. Let's just give us another line here. V'am amar, if you gather stalks together, amarav, haiman, the kind of milcham and milchasa, if you gather salt from, they used to make a dry bed from the salted ocean, and then gather the salt together, chayv mishum amar, that's part of the amar, just like you gather wheat together, it's also the same as true as with salt. Abaya amar, ein imur elo begidule karka, no, it's only if you have growing items like wheat stalks, that's when you would be chayv, but not something which is not does not grow from the ground, such as salt.